Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Monday edition of Sports Time Radio to start your week. I, of course, am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And if you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look forward for that new one in a couple days there. But, of course, you should swing on over there. You never know what the heck is going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? All right. Well, Dan, it's, you know, it's kind of that time of year. I wrote about it a little bit in the blog where, the free agency is, spring training is kind of at a lull. The NBA and the NHL seasons are winding down. And, you know, football has their free agency and, all this stuff just at the perfect time because, man, all hell broke loose today with NFL trades and signings, and it really started last night when the Steelers finally found a new home for Antonio Brown. He's headed to Oakland, and all they're getting is a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. I know you had, Antonio Brown, I think a couple of years ago, fantasy-wise. He was your number one pick in the draft. Like this fit? And I mean, I guess the question is, did they get enough?
I don't think they got enough when you're desperate to get rid of a guy.
Yeah, and humorously, I believe they were going to get more from the Buffalo Bills in a trade, and when they agreed on that, Brown came out and said, well, I'm not going to Buffalo, I just won't report. So obviously the Bills didn't want to have anything to do with that trade. I heard that, all the reports I heard said the Raiders were the only team that hung around the negotiations. Everybody else kind of just gave up and, we don't care. So it kind of became a situation where it seems like the Steelers had to settle for this or hang on to them. So I guess they just took what they could get, right?
Yeah, well, I guess the other part of it is they lose the money, so they don't have to pay for it.
So, yeah, and then the Raiders immediately, restructured his contract or redid his contract and gave him a bunch of guaranteed money, so he's going to be there. And I know they went out and signed another Brown. They signed, I believe it's Trey. Was it Trey Brown? First name. But he was the Patriots left tackle. So they added him. And I believe they made one other free agent signing today. I thought I saw they added another guy, but I can't seem to find it here. There's been a lot of movement. So it's a tad difficult to keep up with who went where and what happened there and all this other fun stuff. But I know another player who affects you, we've always kind of related Blake Bortles as being your guy. And, the Jaguars agreed today to deal with Nick Foles. He's going to get 4 years and $88 million. So, damn, sadly, that means it looks like your guy Blake is out of a job. So I don't remember what they gave him. What was that? A couple of years ago, after they went to the AFC Championship game, they signed him to the deal. So, I'll have to look here, see if I can get it really quick while we're talking about him. But yeah, the tough part is obviously it wasn't all his fault. You know, he's going to take the blame for it. So, it's just kind of how those things happen. Do they already have him? Here he is. All right, let's see what Blake is listed at here. It does look like he had a couple more years on the contract. Let's see. Yeah, he was to be paid 21 million this year, and then 23 next year. So, yeah, he'll. I don't know what's. You know, it looks like the cap hit is going to be exactly what his salary is. They'll save a little with, you know, dead cap space, get rid of them and all that fun stuff. But, yeah, he – I don't know. Do you see him landing anywhere? Is somebody going to kind of bring him in? Because, like I said, I think he kind of got a bad rap in Jacksonville. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I would like to see somebody, you know, obviously wherever he goes, he's probably going to have to get back up. So.
Miami? I mean, you're asking.
Yeah, Miami actually needs a starter. Maybe they'll take a look at him. So. But, yeah, and then I think in more news that I'm just more surprised with than anything else, it looks like Terrell Suggs is done as a Raven. All the reports are that he's going to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. So that's kind of a big surprise to me. I mean, you know, he is getting up there. He's 36, which is, old for a pass rusher. This is his, what do we got here now? 2, 3, 4, 5. I just got to count all these. Yeah, this will be his 17th year. So I'm not sure. They haven't released contract details or anything. You know, the report right now is just that he's expected to sign with the Cardinals. So maybe that'll still change. Maybe it won't. But he's one of those guys that'll be weird to see in another uniform. But I know, it's the NFL and it's the business and all that fun stuff. But yeah, just quickly, some of the other things that have happened or are going to happen. Deshaun Jackson got traded back, Bills from Tampa Bay. Adam Humphries is apparently going to sign with the Tennessee Titans. What else? Oh, the Lions made 3 signings. They include 2 former Patriots, Trey Flowers and Dan Amendola. And then they also added Jesse James, tight end. And the Jets did make a signing. They added Jamison Crowder, the wide receiver. So there's stuff. I mean, there seems like there's NFL news right and left, everywhere with this. So it's just that time of year. And we'll have to see what else happens, while we're here and tomorrow. So, just kind of, it's that fun time of year where you're excited for the NFL team.
I missed you on that. You broke up.
I said, is it the exciting time of year where you're excited to be an NFL team?
Yeah, I went through your blog and read most of it, but I'll be honest, after halfway through with all the NFL talk, I don't know. I kind of lose the interest. I don't really have the capacity or excitement with the NFL as I do with Major League Baseball.
Oh, that's sad. So, you know, just how it goes. But yeah, you know, so there's, you know, a lot of stuff going on more and more. And I, you know, the new league year has officially started. So all the other stuff that happened can become official and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, since you're interested in baseball, obviously, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I think it was yesterday they did this. Bryce Harper came up to bat for the Phillies, Dan, and they played four outfielders against him. So you like that defensive strategy against Bryce Harper?
Well, you've got to further explain how the setup was.
You know what the weird part is they didn't really show it, and it looked like, you know, it was, you know, they were playing into pull, so there was nobody on the left side of the infield. There was an infield straight up, another guy in, like, you know, what would be deep second or short right field, and then a fourth baseman. And then they had a left fielder, a center fielder, a right center fielder, and a right fielder.
I mean, it's not bad strategy, especially if you have a pitcher who's a fly ball pitcher.
So, yeah, and I guess apparently, you know, when they asked Gabe Kapler about it, and instead of having an intelligent response, like I would think a guy like Gabe Kapler is, because I've talked before, and he seems like a pretty intelligent guy, his response was that he was right to hit it over them. So I was like, great. That's a fantastic manager that I want to play for. Obviously, we're not teaching hitting in Philadelphia. We're just basically swinging for the fences. So probably another reason why you guys won't win the East, but, you know, you can blame it on him when that happens. But, yeah, you know, and, yeah, even, like, it was weird because, like, I was listening to the commentators, and they're like, well, you know, Bryce Harper just isn't a guy who's going to slap the ball to the left side to get a base hit. And all I kept thinking was, what if he's leading off an inning and your team is losing by one run? Wouldn't you want him to slap the ball to the left side and get himself on base so he could be the tying run? Or am I just stupid, Dan? I guess I just got to ask it that way.
Well, for today's game, I mean, you know, the sad part is it's not all the analytics. The fact that the guys don't adjust to go against the analytics on them.
Pretty easy. When a ground ball to what would be the shortstop is a base hit and you become the tying run, you know, or better yet, say the game is tied and you become the go-ahead run, that seems like pretty good strategy to me, but again, maybe I'm the idiot here.
Well, because it's all about the home run.
So... because, yeah, I was just baffled by that, and I couldn't figure out if I'm the moron or the guy who said it was the moron. But, yeah, more and more I'm starting to lean to the point that it's me, and I'm the guy who's got a problem here because I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. You know, I mean, I watch these defensive setups, and, you know, I get that, you know, they're going to play you that way. They're going to try to pitch you inside, but – you know, pitchers make mistakes, and that first mistake he makes, you know, you should whack into left field or left center field, and, maybe it's a double, you know, with the defense they're playing against you. You know, if you're paying attention and hustling, which I know is another lost art in baseball, but, you know, they don't want you to run and get hurt running the bases, God forbid, even though it's part of the game. So, yeah, the more I listen to these analytic people talk, and the deal, you know, and it's just like, God, I never used to be this dumb. What happened?
You're not a robot.
Yeah, I guess not. So, I kind of wonder if maybe my problem is the fact that I actually watch the game. I just don't put numbers in a computer and wait for it to spit out what should happen or what you should do. So I'm wondering if maybe that is my issue there. But yeah, I'll be interested to see if or how anybody reacts if, you know, that situation comes up and, you know, he grounds out to the, you know, the second baseman in right field, or he flies out to the right fielder. So.
Well, you know, it was funny because I was watching, listening to Houston, one of their games today, whichever one was, like, telecast, and then the Giants-Dodgers, and I don't remember which, I think it was the Houston game. Those were the Houston announcers, and they were talking about scouts and the fact that, you know, they didn't allude to why scouts won't disappear, but just to bring up the fact that you need the scouts, and the scouts give you more than, you know, just the numbers. And, you know, they brought up the fact that while the front office may go to, you know, their analytics guy, they're still going to go to the scout who sits there and actually watches the players play and can tell you, you know, is this a team player? Is this a Manny Machado type guy? You know, and so on and so forth. Where, you know, does the guy hustle? Does he just kind of out there for himself? You know, there's all those factors that the scouts really look into and that you don't get from analytics.
Well, I know one of the humorous things, and I think this was in a movie, but, you know, they were talking to a scout about a player. I think it was an NFL movie, but it could apply to any situation. And, you know, the question you always ask, Dan, you hear it all the time, is, you know, what kind of character guy is he? And it's funny because, you know, scouts actually know this stuff. What I thought was a humorous line from this movie is that he said, well, he goes, you can look at it this way. He said, none of his teammates showed up at his birthday party. And, you know, while obviously that has nothing to do with his performance on the field, it does tell you what kind of locker room guy he is. So, you know, these are things that, I mean, you can't put that in the computer and have it spit that out. You know, I mean, you can assemble all the talent in the world, but if it doesn't mesh, it doesn't win. And so that's where I kind of think you still need that human element, because, you know, no matter how you want to look at it, you still can't put a square peg in a round hole. So, you know, or even if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, right?
Mm-hmm.
And either way, it ends up being bacon, and that's all I really worry about with pigs. So, you know. But, yeah, so I'm always kind of, you know, kind of baffled by this. And, like, in spring training, I don't care if he wants to try to hit a homer every time up. I don't really care what these guys, you know, for now, but, you know, when the 28th rolls around and it's situation time, and, you know, it doesn't even have to be Bryce Harper. It can be any one of these, you know, and they seem to do it more against lefties, you know, these big-time lefties they shift against. I need you on base. They want to ground out to the shortstop that ends up left field, and I got a base runner. You know, I don't care what the analytics say. I want to win the damn game, whether it's game one or game 162 or game seven of the NLCS or game seven of the World Series. I want to win the game. And you know, again, Dan, I think I've asked you this before sarcastically. You still have to score runs to win these games, right? I mean, they're not giving you points for your WAR or your exit velocity or your swing plane or anything, right? So, yeah, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe they changed the scoring of the game. So, you know, and that does bring me back. I think I told it with Schomburg, too, the other Friday, and I wanted to relate this to you. I can't remember what year it was. I'm not sure if you know. But one of the teams, and I want to say it was the Red Sox, actually hired an actual rocket scientist to examine swing exit velocity. And you know what this rocket scientist determined, Dan?
You can't do it?
No, he did it, but what he determined was that Tony Gwynn was the luckiest hitter of all because he had the lowest exit velocity out of any player.
So
all right, now
like
this is Tony Gwynn. Right, Tony Gwynn, who won 8 batting titles, was a career 338 hitter and had 3,141 hits. Was lucky, Dan. Yeah. You wanna talk to me more about analytics after somebody figured that one out? You know, here, how about this one, Dan? Tony Gwynn had 10,232 official plate appearances in the major league. That's not taking his walks off. That's how many times he went to the plate. Officially, he had 9,288 at bats. All right, you ready for this one? He struck out 434 times. Dan, that's 2 seasons for some guys now in this fall.
Mm-hmm.
This is over 20 years. So
oh,
the most times Gwynn has struck out in the season was 40. All right, Javier Baez will have 40 strikeouts by the end of May. So, yeah, and then, you know, he had those 434 strikeouts. He walked 790 times in his career, Dan. So he almost had double walked the strikeouts. That never happened now. But yet, we're looking at a guy who was lucky. How do I get that lucky, Dan?
I mean, if I was that lucky, I'd be playing today, so.
Oh, and by the way, I think, I know you mentioned it, but you have to mention it. Not only is he a Hall of Famer, but he was a first ballot Hall of Famer and went in with 97% of the vote. So, yeah, there you go for lucky. But, yeah, that's, you know, anytime you want to bring up analytics, you know, I'll throw Tony Gwynn in your face. You analytic guys try to defend that on you know, you got guys grounded out, a guy standing in right field, and there's nobody on the left side of the infield. So, Dan, I have to ask you. You know, we're talking a little loosey here. We have 2 drafts this weekend. Have you started to get ready?
Yeah, I've been watching preseason.
You know, well, you know, you'll have to put this on your list. And Kyle Seager, the Mariners' third baseman, bad news for me. He's going to undergo surgery to repair an injured tendon in his left hand. You know, I believe you heard it. I believe he was diving for a ball. So looks like, you know, they don't have a timetable right now for his return. But you know, you got to figure surgery. You're guessing a couple months, maybe 3.
Most likely.
So, yeah, right now, at the end of the article, they say it looks like he'll miss all of April. I'm under the impression it's probably going to be a little more than all of April, even though it is his non-throwing hand. That's still, you know, still going to be a little tough to hold the bat and you know, kind of get back wing of everything. So, you know, we'll have to see. I am interested, and the article doesn't say here. They say Ryan Healy will move over to third base to fill in there, but it doesn't say if Dan Vogelbach will get some more at bat, which I was kind of interested in. So, I was like, ah. But, yeah, and then you mentioned off the air that Adam Jones finally found a job. He's going to Arizona. So I don't know. What do they have here? It looks like it's $3 million guaranteed with $2 million incentives. So I don't know if he'll step in as possibly a starter, or if they're just going to plan on using him as a, you know, as a fourth outfielder. I had read somewhere that they had been playing Ketel Marte in center field. You know, and I always thought he was more of an infielder, but obviously they would know. So we'll have to see if, you know, if Jones gets playing time there. And then the Royals did finally come to terms with Manny Machado. You know, we mentioned that sadly Salvador Perez is going to miss the whole year. He had Tommy surgery. So they signed, I don't know what I said, it's actually Martin Maldonado. I think I called him Machado. yeah, you know what I was thinking of. But yeah, Martin Maldonado, he gets a 1-year deal for 2.5, 1 million in incentive. You got to figure, maybe not right off the bat, but he's going to jump really quickly to the number one spot, because the only catcher they had with major league experience was Cam Gallagher, and I believe that was like 2 or 3 games. So I don't think it'll take Mark Maldonado long to become the number one there in Kansas City. So yeah, a couple guys, you know, if you're possibly grabbing, you know, taking a flyer on some guys late in a 20-team draft, there you go, Dan.
What did you think of Arizona picking up Adam Jones? I mean, money, right? It's a good deal for them.
Yeah, you know, I'm really interested to see, you know, how much playing time he's going to get, because it could be a, you know, it could be a really good deal for him. I mean, there's, you know, I don't believe there's anything wrong with Adam Jones' talent. He's a little older now. What is he? I think he's 34. But he's still a really good defensive outfielder. So I'm looking here to see if they take him in as a starter. Yeah, you know, on Roster Resource, they have him as a bench guy. And, yeah, they actually have Ketel Marte as a fielder, with David Peralta in left, and your guy Steve Souza Jr. in right. Of course, with Souza Jr.'s health, Jones could be playing quite a bit, couldn't he?
No, I was just going to say that.
So, yeah, but I mean, I like the signing. So, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, if he gets a chance to play a little bit. I know Arizona is, I don't know, they seem kind of in between. Like, they're not really in rebuild mode, but they're not really in win mode. So I don't know. But, you know, 1 year deal, you know, if he goes out and plays well, you know, could call and come. A nice fourth outfielder for a contender, especially if he can still play defense. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see how it works out. But yeah, did you like that signing?
I did, and, you know, to be honest, you know, watching the Giants Dodgers earlier, I totally forgot that the Dodgers signed Pollock. So,
yeah,
I mean, but I was working while I was listening, so I just, you know, I didn't take time to find out what the Diamondbacks were doing. So, but I have to say, you know, I do like the signing, and, you know, with the fact that Souza Jr. is out there, I definitely think he's going to get more playing time than maybe he expected. You know, it's funny because I forget who that one guy is that I like a lot, who was a third base right fielder. I always want to say Yunel Escobar, but that was the guy from, I think, the Angels. Big Jack, can you tell me who that was for the Diamondbacks? He's getting paid a ton of money to go play in the minors.
Yasmani Tomas.
Yes, Yasmani Tomas. So I honestly thought at first when I saw the that Pollock was in L.A. that Tomas would even get some more time in Arizona, but I think that ship has sailed for him. But I do have to say I really, you know, it sucks that Puig is out of L.A., but I really like that outfield.
So, yeah, it, you know, it should be interesting to see how that all kind of ends up coming together. You know, out there. And, again, you know, the big question is, can Souza stay healthy? You know, if he's healthy, he's a big-time home run hitter. You know, it's just the question of can we keep him healthy?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll have to see how that kind of shakes out for them. It's, yeah, you know, I think it's a really good signing. Again, you know, like I said, what the hell do I know? But you know, I do like it, like it quite a bit. I have noticed, Dan, you know, over the weekend, obviously, you know, you and I get to kind of kick back and relax a little bit. You know, you get 3 days off from the podcast, and I did get two because Mr. Fantasy was sick. He's got the cold from hell and just can't seem to get rid of it. So I got an extra day off. I noticed that the Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrel rumors really kind of disappeared over the weekend. I mean, I didn't hear anybody new with any interest or see any reports with anybody, you know, possibly, you know, wanting to get in on these guys. I will be interested to see if the Braves rumors pop back up on Keuchel, because I saw Mike Foltynewicz, who's supposed to be their opening day starter, is going to miss that start. And they haven't decided how many starts he'll miss. But are you surprised that the rumors kind of went away, or were you expecting it? I mean, do you think we'll get these guys signed before the 28th?
I can't even say yes or no to that. I mean, I would have thought they would have been already. But you, like you brought up a million times, I think they hurt themselves with the terms that they wanted.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I'm at the point now where I just wonder. I mean, you know, I think Kimbrel could still be okay, you know, being a closer. But, man, unless I'm just flat out desperate, I can't take Keuchel at this point. I mean, there's too much history with these guys now. You know, I mean, where they sign late like this, and there's just no, you know, there's just no, you know, they're no good, basically, is the only way to look at it. And I mean, I, you know, and especially if I'm a contender, I can't have Keuchel go out there and, you know, stink for, you know, even if it's 4 months, you know, that it takes him to get in his group. I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong on it, but I just don't think I would take that chance. So I don't know. Would you? I mean,
no, but I think if the team really wanted him, they would have kind of by February 1st, no?
You know, I would have thought, well, you know, like I was surprised all along until I finally heard his demands. Then I understood why he was still floating around out there. You know, but yeah, you've got to think, I mean, I know he's got Scott Boras as an agent, but good Lord, you got to kind of work with the market dictates. And, you know, hell, he should have taken, you know, a 1-year deal with an option and then proved himself and went back out on the market the next year, right? Because he wasn't getting 5 or 6. That was really clear from the start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, did any pitcher get that this offseason? You know, I think Corbin got four with an option. Yeah. So, you know, I don't remember any guy really, you know, obviously the position players cashed in, but I don't remember a pitcher getting, long years like that. And, you know, you got to understand, you know, especially when you're a player, I get that you want that, you know, long-term security or however you want to look at it. But, you know, the two sides to this, you've got to be smart enough to realize that, you know, the market for pitchers isn't like that now, and you might have to take 3 years. You know, you might have to take 3 years in the option or something like that. But still, I mean, you can't tell me, Dan, if Dallas Keuchel would have signed Semier someplace for 3 years at $60 million, that even when that 3 years was up and he couldn't get another baseball job, that he would be in financial trouble. You know, I mean, you give me $60 million, and I think I could live the rest of my life just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, or give me $20 million a year for the next 3 years, and, you know, I'll even give you the 10% as my agent for negotiating it. You know, you'll get 10% a year, and I think I'll still be okay. So, you know, I won't have any problems there. But that's just me. Maybe he's got a more lavish lifestyle than me. You know, I don't know. So, yeah, anytime these guys kind of start talking financial security, it makes me chuckle because I don't know what the hell they're doing with their money that, you know, that you need $300 million to live on. But, hey,
mm-hmm.
You know. Do you need $300 million to live on?
I mean, I could. Or I would take it.
So, you know, and then I thought it was kind of humorous. You know, Mr. Fantasy and I have been doing our Money League fantasy draft. We couldn't all get together this year, so we are doing it online, and it has taken quite a while. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. It takes a long time to, you know, to get the picks, and then, you know, the next guy's got a pick, and we're sitting at 16. It's a 16-team league, but we get to pick twice in a row, which is nice. Even though it is a long time between picks, and over the weekend it was kind of humorous because, these guys are well-researched baseball guys. So, you know, a guy took Vlad Guerrero Jr. a little earlier than I thought he should. I think he went like the fifth or sixth round. So he took a little bit of a reach on him, and then about maybe 30 minutes after he made that pick, I got a tweet from you saying that he was going to be out for, what was it? Was it 3 weeks or 3 months or something like that? So I was like, well, there you go. He just got picked. So I thought that was a little odd. So are you picking Vlad this weekend with one of your top picks?
No, he's not ready.
Yes, that's true. He is not ready. But, yeah, you know, I guess, you know, the humorous thing about this is if the Blue Jays would have just waited, they wouldn't have had to come up with that stupid idea that he wasn't ready. So I guess that's just how it works out. You know, just those fun things that we have to work with. But I don't know. But yeah, really quickly. No surprise. Mike Trout actually went first in our draft. I'm sure you're shocked by that. But surprisingly, this year, this is normally a league where I don't know why, but for some reason, outfielders just don't go with the exception of Trout. But this year there were more outfielders picked earlier than there have been in quite a while. So I don't know, you know, who or what they, you know, they thought or who had whatever strategy. But, yeah, I was I was a little surprised by that, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, and of course I didn't bring it up here, but, you know, they're not position-specific in this league, so they're just outfielders. You know, like you don't have to find a left fielder or a center fielder or a right fielder. So it makes it a little easier to just be like, oh, hey, I can grab any outfielder. That's no big deal. So, I mean, do you think that's possible with some of it?
Yeah, I think that's a huge possibility. But, I mean, I think the problem too is, like you said, you're not position specific with the outfield.
So yeah, I just, you know, I was just kind of like, but yeah, I was a little, you know, it went, you know, they went as quickly as they did. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is different for us. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I think, you know, I think so far Mr. Fantasy and I have done pretty well. You know, early on we worked pitching early. And I think we ended up with – we went Verlander and then Kluber at 16-7. And then when it came back to us, we actually took another starter. We took Robbie Ray along with Joey Votto. So we stacked up on some starting pitching early. You know, we'll see if it works out. That's something we haven't done in this league yet. And, you know, we'll have to – again, let's see if it pays off for us or if we're just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot.
How are you liking your team so far?
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, we want to come, you know, the tough part of picking with somebody is, you know, there's times you have to go a different way than you would have normally went. And, you know, there have been a couple picks where, like, I've wanted to go one way and he's wanted to go another way. But all in all, it's worked out. And I think we're okay. I'm a little worried because we haven't picked a catcher. We're the only team that's starting catcher. So... I'm waiting to see how that kind of works out, and you know, if we're okay, but it's a little interesting. But you know, if you don't grab a catcher, you know, right away. I mean, if you don't get, you know, Posey, Molina, there really aren't a ton of offensive catchers out there. You know, if you believe Gary Sanchez is going to bounce back, he could be a guy. You know, if you're not going to land one of those guys, you know, there's not a ton of reasons to go get one. And when we've come to pick, there really hasn't been a catcher to kind of go, oh, yeah, okay, well, let's take this guy. So we just kind of kept going with what we thought was the best guy. And sadly, it just wasn't that good.
Now, are all those guys still available that you mentioned? Or how many of them have fallen off the board?
Oh, the catchers, they're long gone. The best available catcher right now is Mike Zunino. So,
wow.
You know, yeah, because like when I was looking just a minute ago, and Omar Narvaez just been drafted, he's going to be the first starter. So it's interesting. We'll probably grab one when our pick comes up here, in hopefully sometime tonight. We'll get a couple more picks in. We'll probably grab a guy just to have a guy, depending on, you know, if Zunino is still left. But you know, like I mentioned, that may be where the Maldonado signing saves us a little bit because he's just been added to the pool already. So he's another guy we could grab.
Now, Mr. Fantasy was never happy with my draft selection when it came to Buster Posey. And, I think in catchers in general, he had his theory.
But, you know, for me, I'm not going to tell you that it's one of the most important spots on your team. But with that position, I feel like any other position you've got, there's always guys. Where the catching position becomes one of the hardest ones. You know, even it's worse than goalies. It's worse than a goalie in hockey. You know, there's definitely going to be some available, but not in baseball when it comes to catchers. You know, and not every team even has that great of a quality catcher.
Well, no, and, you know, the tough side, you know, the tough thing now is a lot of teams platoon those guys. So, you know, what do you got to do? You got to take two catchers and then flip-flop them in, and then you've just got to eat a zero if that team is off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting situation. And, like, I'm hoping Zunino gets back to us because he is a true number one guy. So, you know, at least we'll have a number one catcher who will probably hit 25 home runs. But, yeah, I mean, if he goes before it gets back to us, you know, we're looking at Maldonado or probably Chance Cisco from the Orioles as our catcher. So it's going to be a rough year, and then that's probably going to get blamed on me.
Yeah, and with that position, that's why I'm a big fan of, you know, those guys getting some time at first base, at least 10 games.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it definitely helped out, you know, in my old days in the beginning when I, you know, having Buster Posey and Adrian Gonzalez, and then, you know, just so happened to have, you know, some other random catcher that's playing. And, you know, Adrian has the day off because you can only get one real first baseman because Mr. Fantasy loaded up on all of them, you know, in his first three picks. And, you know, it was nice because he had that option to play both catchers in one day because you had, you know, that one guy playing first base.
Yeah, no, like I'm a big fan, like in our 20 team leagues, I'm a big fan of having two catchers so I get points every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know like Mitchell Fantasy isn't that big a fan of it. He's willing to take the, you know, the zero on those days. But then, you know, I mean, you know, we have other positions. Like you mentioned, some guys play first base, so you can get them as a dual position guy. But then, you know, we always have our utility spot where, you know, if you can plug them in there, you know what I mean? If you get a starting catcher, you know, you can always get some kind of production. So yeah, you know, and that's probably our biggest difference of opinion when it comes to drafting, you know, how we're going to go, you know, in situations like that. But like, I was hugely surprised, and you'll probably find this really interesting early on after we had those three starters. We decided to go back a little later and grab a fourth one. Now, you start four – in this league, you put four starting pitchers in a week. And I had narrowed it down. I wanted Chris Archer, and I said, well, would you like Chris Archer or Cole Hamels? And believe it or not, Mr. Fantasy actually preferred that we went with Cole Hamels. So we have a Cub on our team, which doesn't happen too often with him. But – yeah, you know, we got him in the rotation. And later on, another thing I was talking to you off the air before we got started was we were looking for a second baseman, and I wanted Yoan Moncada of the White Sox, and he wanted Cesar Hernandez of the Phillies. I really thought Moncada had more potential to have a bigger year. You know, I thought he would have the growth and, expand. I think he's actually going to move over to third. So we would get him as a dual position guy eventually, and you know how I love those guys. He was hell-bent on taking Hernandez. So we ended up going with Cesar Hernandez. And, yeah, I was just a little surprised that, A, he wanted a Cub, and, B, he didn't want a White Sox.
Now, you know, the question I posed for you with that, and obviously you can't answer for Mr. Fantasy, but you might have a little bit of inkling. You know, I feel like with Cesar Hernandez, he is who he is. he's pretty much the player
right.
you kind of expect. Do you think that played into it where, you know, Mankata, I think I agree with you. I think he's going to grow. But do you think that played into it, the fact that he's maybe, you know, when you put those two together side by side, maybe Mankata is more of the wild card. You don't know exactly what you're going to get out of him, except for strikeouts.
No, you know, they're talking about cutting them down this year because they actually think they know what his problem was last year. So, but, you know, as a kid, you know, you always strike out more as a younger player than you do, unless, of course, you're Tony Gwynn, which
I just meant that's a cheap shot at the league as a whole, not just Mankata.
You know, like I was looking at it, the fact that I believe Hernandez is going to get eighth in the Phillies lineup, where Mankata is going to hit in the top of the White Sox lineup.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Philly ball, but how much production does an eight hitter give you? You know, a bat in front of the pitcher. I'm just not sure. You know how much it's going to work out. But I know he had Hernandez last year. He was really high on last year. So I think we were riding a little wave of that. And I don't know if he saw the full picture, what I was talking about. So I don't know if it really carried over to him. So we went that way. And I was a little surprised because I think Mankata is going to be a good pickup because somebody got him a couple picks after we did. And I just think in the end, he's going to end up being a better player than Hernandez this year. I think we went the wrong way with that. You know, the Hamels Archer thing, kind of a close. I'm kind of figuring Archer bounces back. I can't figure he'd be that bad for the Pirates again.
Yeah, no, and one of the other things why I would probably go with Mankata over Hernandez, Renteria, like you said, likes to put him at the top, but depending on the situation, he's also been known to put him in that nine hole. So, and you remember that old stupid theory, that's like having an extra leadoff hitter. If you don't make it all the way around. So, I mean, he's pretty much kind of stuck in the same zone, so to speak, when it comes to hitting. Where I like what Renteria's doing because I feel like he's trying to set the kid up to actually be a hitter as opposed to just a guy who's, supposed to come into the league and supposed to hit 30 home runs because, you know, that's what everyone's supposed to do now. You know, you're not supposed to hit the ball. You're supposed to launch angle it to – I can't think of his name. It's the Todd Williams seat. There you go.
Yes. So yeah, I just, you know, again, I'm just kind of like, well, you know, and I mean, you know, again, it's give and take. So I was okay with it, but yeah, you know, like I said, the Hamels Archer thing, I was okay with, but yeah, I didn't like the. I really think we should have went with Mankata, but again, it's just one of those things that that's where we were. So
yeah. No, it'll be interesting this weekend. I don't know. I feel like when it comes to the other sports, I do the mock drafts, and it doesn't help me really because I'm not going to make the playoffs in either league. It's just so hard. But with baseball, I don't really have to think about it. You know, I mean, I do the mock drafts, but I really haven't this year. And especially with the move up, that kind of threw me off a little bit. So,
I hate that. You know, as early as we are, but you know, that's Major League Baseball's fault.
Yeah. So that one kind of threw me off because I thought we still had another 2 weeks to prep for it. But, I mean, I don't know. I know the game. I know the players, and I know the positions. So it's just a matter of, you know, who comes to me at what time. And it will be interesting, too, with the I think a little bit more so with the auction draft, which I don't remember which night is which. But I know you said we lost a lot. We lost a couple, and then, you know, it was reopened. So we gained – I don't know if we went back to full yet. But, I mean, for the most part, with I think we have at least 14 to 16, you know, people who've been there. So that one makes it interesting because, you know, over the years we started off low with the bidding, and then the bidding skyrocketed to where now everyone's kind of leveled themselves off and not really willing to throw, you know, the high numbers on a player. So I think that's what makes it interesting to me is the auction league.
Yeah, where we are right now, I actually looked just before we started the podcast today. We actually have one opening left in each league. So if you're interested in joining, we've got one spot left in the Snake League and one in the Auction League. Again, you know, it won't cost you anything. It is 20 teams, so it's big, and the draft takes a long time. But email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. We'll send you the link. Again, totally free to sign up, and we run it through Yahoo and the draft for this weekend. So,
yeah, and don't scare them too bad. The Auction League, we've definitely got it down because learning to tweak with the timings and all that, I think really helped it to where we get it done in like 3 to 5 hours. It just depends. And then
we're getting started, so, you know, would be the way to look at it. But, yeah, planning, you know, you're looking at 3+ hours, no matter what it is. So.
Yeah, and well, in the Snake League, I feel like we've got we have a crew of guys that actually attend the draft. We're live online, so it's not as cool as my mother-in-law's boyfriend's draft because, you know, they get to sit in a room and hold a place card or something, and they go, I draft. You know, at least that's what he told me. Yeah, he said we're not as cool and it's not as fun. But no, I mean, the Snake Draft, I mean, compared to the Auction League, I mean, it flies by. And the fact that we, over the last couple of years, especially, we've had almost all teams drafting live, so it goes by pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, I guess I said, you know, we're getting better. You know, the thing that still screws us up is when, you know, I got to figure out a way to get guys to do this. When you leave, put the damn auto pick on. That would save so much time. It wouldn't be fun. So, hopefully, you know, we'll okay this year, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm just disappointed that, you know, they have those two meaningless games in Japan that we have to work around, and we can't do the draft, you know, a week later, or, you know, since where we are. So I think that would have been a little more help for us. But we'll, you know, it'll work out. But again, you know, one spot in each league if you're interested. So, you know, feel free to, you know, message us. And all right, well, that's how we're going to wrap up the podcast today. Excuse me, tomorrow, I'm here at 5 o'clock with Thomas Cruz, who's getting to the Bulls Lakers. We'll have a full report on that on the Lakers podcast. So that's all you know to be on sportsmanradio.com. Get all those stuff that's going on, but follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give them a like while you're there. We just appreciate that. Don't forget to like that Twitter feed of yours. That's Sportsman Radio. Now, feel free to help us analyze on our Twitter if you'd like to do that. But as always, available for you.